Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by United Way. Whether it's helping a single mom in Dundalk keep her home or giving a bright student in Sandtown a chance to be his best, United Way fights for families. Help them win the fight. Visit uwcm.org/fight.
From the Baltimore Sun, I'm Dan Rodericks, Sun columnist, and this is Roughly Speaking for March 18, 2019. 60 years ago, the steel mills at Sparrows Point hit peak employment. In 1959, more than 30,000 people worked along the waterfront for Bethlehem Steel in southeastern Baltimore County. It was the region's largest employer and the largest steel mill in the world, with the largest open hearth furnace in the world. In the previous decade, during World War II, the adjacent Bethlehem shipyard, cranking out Liberty ships for the war effort, employed more than 45,000. A company town grew up around the plant with schools, stores, and housing for steelworker families. After decades of decline and the loss of steel fabrication to other countries, Bethlehem went bankrupt in 2001, and there followed a series of owners and more decline until another bankruptcy in 2012 completed the long transition from steel town to ghost town. Since then, another transition has taken place. The sprawling Bethlehem Steel site on Sparrows Point has become a
21st century global logistics hub.
Or put another way,
it's a trimodal logistics hub.
Or altogether now,
a 21st century trimodal global logistics hub.
Our guest today is
Aaron Tamarchio, Senior Vice President of Corporate Affairs for TradePoint Atlantic.
TradePoint Atlantic is the new name for Sparrows Point. It is owned by a private joint venture taking on a massive redevelopment project. It was the late Kevin Kamenetz, as Baltimore County Executive, who pushed for a plan to turn 3,300 post-industrial acres into a transportation, distribution, and manufacturing hub. Baltimore County approved $78 million for infrastructure. A year ago, TradePoint got $20 million in federal funds to help pay for rebuilding bulkheads and dredging the channels to allow larger ships to reach its berths. TradePoint planned to invest another $30 million into that part of the project. There are already big tenants here with 3,500 employees, on the way to what investors believe will be 10,000 direct and 7,000 related jobs within a decade. Part of the plan is supposed to include manufacturing and the higher-skilled, higher-paying jobs that go with it, but there isn't much of that yet. Most of what's in place so far provides Baltimore workers with distribution or warehouse jobs. You'll hear Aaron Tamarchio address that as we drive along and talk about the tenants. There's so much to see at TradePoint, so much that's new, and some of what remains of the very old. The steel mills are long gone, and there's a power plant being demolished, but the huge dry dock in the old shipyard is still there. And as you'll hear toward the end of the tour, we even came across a Baltimore relic that seemed a little out of place. Aaron Tamarchio will do the driving and most of the talking, and if the recording strikes you as a little too quiet for a ride-along, it's because the windows in his big SUV were up, and the March winds were blowing across the still mostly barren landscape of TradePoint Atlantic.
In 2012, when the mill was purchased right after bankruptcy, they did begin the initial demolition of the site. In 2014, there was still a good bit of demolition that was ongoing and still needed to be completed. In total, about 17 million square feet of old industrial complex was demolished and, in most cases, recycled. We actually took the old steel from the buildings and put it through a recycling program.
Okay, so we're going to start rolling here, but
yeah.
From here I can see the Amazon Fulfillment Center, which is huge buildings, and then a large parking lot full of Volkswagens. So that's also part of what was Sparrows Point, the steel mill property.
Correct. Everything you see here was all part of the former Sparrows Point steel complex. We all know in Baltimore what Sparrows Point meant to our region. It was home to steelmaking for 125 years, employed generations of Baltimore families, and in many cases helped grow the town of Dundalk and Turner Station and the communities here in the southeastern side of Baltimore County.
And as we drive through the parking lot here, we can see in the distance, not that far off, the Key Bridge. And I'm looking at a building that says MCM on it, like a warehouse building. Was that standing here, or is that something new?
That was standing here. That's one of the existing buildings. That building is slated for demolition in the next month to make way for a new building that we're going to be putting here.
So as we drive around, I see the Under Armour operation here, a big white building with the red and white Under Armour logo in the front. What exactly is going on over there? I know that's new in the last couple of years, right?
It is. That was built just about a year and a half, 2 years ago. That is a 1.3 million square foot e-commerce distribution house for Under Armour. And that if you order something online through Under Armour, it's typically going to be sourced out of here at Sparrows Point.
So the big commitments that TradePoint's already received, Amazon, obviously, and Under Armour, somebody told me that someone is going to be growing lettuce inside a building down here. Is that true?
That is true. We actually are, part of our transition is going from steel to organic produce. We're very excited to have Gotham Greens, which is an urban farming concept, put together a 90,000 square foot greenhouse where they will grow organic produce, high-end bib lettuce and herbs that we typically would see in restaurants and salads.
We came down a road that sort of dead ends at a demolition excavation site, and there's a piece of heavy equipment carrying a big piece of pipe for drainage, I guess.
That's correct. In fact, what you're seeing here is about 300 acres that is being prepared for development. Earlier this year, we announced two new tenants.
Just an MTA bus.
It's an MTA bus.
So you have MTA service here because of all the
63.
He wants you to get out of the way.
So he's got it good. In fact, this 63 service is the fastest growing new line MTA put in. So we're very proud of.
In terms of passengers, because of the work down here. Right?
Absolutely, and it's going to continue to grow. And the MTA service is key connector to jobs and to the labor force, which is important to our tenants. But real quick.
Speaking of tenants. So Under Armour, Amazon, who else is already here?
Well, we have FedEx, Access World. Volkswagen does have a little program with their TDI recall going on. And then we have an active deepwater port that I'll show you in just a little bit. Okay. Good number of tenants. Purdue also does some organic grain movement through here as part of our port operation. But back to what we were talking about, what you were seeing and what we're kind of positioned at right now is about...
You mean this excavation
acres.
That's
this
going
excavation.
On?
Yeah. So we announced two new companies this year, Floor & Decor and Home Depot, totaling about 3 million square feet. And those buildings will be constructed simultaneously over the course of this year. So you're seeing the site development work going on right now for those projects.
The big advantage to TradePoint, in addition to its size, the scale, is that it's a port, a deep water port. It has access to the interstate highway. And it has rail that was already existing here in the days of the mills.
Absolutely. It's a trimodal logistics hub with the deepwater port, the highway, and the rail access. And we run our own short line railroad, TradePoint Rail, one site here. What we've done is we've taken the backbone of the steel mill, what the steel mill created. If you think about what they were doing, they were using the port to import raw material to manufacture steel. Right. And they used the mass square footage of land here to house the manufacturing operations. Mm-hmm. They used the rail to be able to move product from different parts of the operation on the site and then eventually out to their customers. And then when 695 was built, they used the highway system to move their product as well. So if you think about just the perfect model of bringing in raw material, manufacturing it, and then sending it out to the market in multiple modes, that's what we're doing here, but we're doing it in a 21st century fashion with 21st century product and multiple tenants, not just one big user.
The key there is you were able to use existing rail lines.
That's correct. We connect directly to CSX and Norfolk Southern, the two main industrial rail lines that serve the Baltimore area. And we're one of the few ports that can promote the fact that the customers have direct access to those two rail lines.
So year by year, you add tenants.
When they make a decision to locate and invest at TradePoint Atlantic, they're making a significant capital investment into the property. Not only that, because we are a supply chain-oriented development, they're making adjustments to their company's supply chain, and that has a lot of consequences for that company. So typically, you will find long-term commitments, 10, 15, 20-year commitments of these companies when they locate here. As far as our pipeline looking outwards, yeah. What we recently announced with Home Depot and Floor & Decor, you're looking at about a year-long build-out of a site, and then the building, and then maybe they eventually ramp up operations. So, when a company decides to locate and build a facility here, you're looking about anywhere from 18 to 24 months before they're fully, right. up and pumping out jobs and product. So, depending on
how many jobs are we talking about so far, Aaron?
Right now, we have 3,500 jobs working each and every day. This time next year, that number should increase to about 4,500 jobs. It's interesting to see the transformation of this site. I started here in 2014 when we just bought the mill, and it was desolate. The only work that was going on was the demo work in select portions of the property. And if you were in one, because of the vastness of this property, if you were in a certain part of the site, you didn't see anything. Now, it, as you can see, it's humming with activity of all kinds.
Well, I see heavy equipment operating.
Yep.
I see some cranes in the distance. Those cranes I see in the distance are for the deep water port.
That's part. Correct.
That
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been very interesting what's happened in the port in general in the last few years, making ready at Dundalk, for instance, for the Panamax ships, deep water work that was done there, the continued growth of automobile imports, in the port of Baltimore, in at Dundalk Marine Terminal, which isn't that far away.
Now you can see the cranes right over there.
I see in the distance the Dundalk cranes. And now what used to be a shipyard, right?
Yeah.
You hope to transform into another part of the port.
Correct. We consider ourselves part of the Port of Baltimore. We're a private port, but we're a part of the economy that makes up the Port of Baltimore. And right now, TradePoint Atlantic is positioned as a bulk break bulk logistics terminal. So we handle the bulk materials, the break bulk product that... I'd like to say we're the foundation of the manufacturing economy. These are the raw materials that are imported that are used upstream somewhere in the United States in the manufacturing process.
We're headed down a road here. Steel yard rail dumper says one way and port facility the other way. And there's an old building. I assume that's part of the old mill, right?
It is. It's one of the last remaining large mill structures. This is the Penwood Power Station. So this was the station that powered a good part of the steel mill. This was a very complex structure to have to take down. A lot of asbestos needed to be remediated and removed. And the building itself is pretty complex, and be able to take it down safely requires a lot of thought and execution. So this building should hopefully be down within the next couple of months.
A big flat piece of land with heavy equipment here and there, trucks here and there. A cement factory that we just passed, right?
Yep, right over there. That's Lafarge. They're one of the...
You have your own
concrete
operation here, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's the concrete operation for those two buildings we're talking about. When you build 3 million square feet, you need to put a cement plant in to be able to...
Sometimes this landscape, and looking back at that power plant that you were describing... I mean, that looks like something out of a Mad Max movie, doesn't it?
Yeah,
some film crew would love to use this for a disaster movie or something, but that's just an old power plant that's being pulled apart.
In fact, we've had calls from people that wanted to use our site as a backdrop for a horror movie a couple of years ago, because if you look at that building, majority of this site had buildings like that on it a couple of years ago. So the transformation over the last 5 years has just been astonishing.
Right. Man, someday there'll be trees here, right?
Yeah, you see.
Someday there'll be landscaping around these buildings, but now it's just all scrubby old industrial site. That's
what
it's, and it's flat. It is so flat.
It looks like the moon, right? As
it
some
does.
People say, the surface. We see that there's a fire going on. That's somebody cutting out metal in the interior of the building,
oh, yeah.
doing the demo work.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a welder up there.
So is that Did you say that was the last of the old buildings, Sarah?
It's the last of the main large old buildings, yep.
By the way, there's a big blue warehouse there. What is that? These buildings are so vast, I had to ask what that is.
Those are two brand new buildings we built about a year ago. They're our port logistics buildings. So they're near dock buildings to support the housing and movement of product that we import through our deep water port.
Now we're on the yellow route, and there's a cargo container in front of us, some more demolition debris, and then I'm starting to see some water here.
So this is our part of our deep water port. In fact, typically we would have at least two vessels working in any given day. So today is a pretty quiet day for us. But what you see going off in the distance right now is a dredging operation. We are working a dredge plan to go back to our historic depths of water. As DeMille was going under, one of the things that they kind of really didn't keep up on was the infrastructure maintenance. And so this harbor area that we're looking at was allowed to silt in a little bit. So we need to kind of dredge back to its original depth so we can continue to have marine traffic come through here. But you'll see that the port area looks a little sad right now.
Yeah.
We are executing a $50 million project to upgrade that berth and to really bring it up to 21st century standards, put new lighting. In fact, when you look at the site, it's pretty rough, and in a year from now, you'll have new lighting, it will be fully graded and paved, it will look like a 21st century port. Or what you'll see here are the bulk material vessels and roll-on, roll-off vessels from cars. I think when we announced Floor & Decor, they are bringing new containerized product in through a Seagirt Marine Terminal, and then they're going to be bringing that product from that terminal to Trade Point to be housed and distributed. So there is a synergy between the Port of Baltimore and Trade Point Atlantic, and the opportunity to have an inland port nearby, an international port, to handle the disposition of the product and cargo that the companies are shipping in.
What's the potential here when you make presentations to potential tenants? People have an interest in this place. What do you say the potential is in terms of jobs, in terms of number of tenants? You have a lot of land yet to be developed.
There's a lot of land to be developed. It's incredible potential. This is what we call modern industrial revival, and it's taking shape in the form of a 21st century global logistics hub. So when we talk about the global economy, Sparrows Point is going to play a major part of that new economy, that new global economy, and bringing efficiency to supply chain management and overall logistics of materials and product, whether it's raw material or finished product like what you're seeing being handled by Amazon and Under Armour. So the opportunity is pretty limitless, and the fact that we're strategically located in a major metropolitan area within a day's drive of a third of the U.S. population, it's pretty meaningful.
We just drove onto a big patch of wood chips, headed toward what looks like the edge of the land here. Yeah. And I see another, was a barge doing some dredging out there?
That's correct.
Yeah,
there's a barge doing the dredging. This is our finger pier. So this is two additional berth spaces that are active. And right now we're looking at the beautiful Patapsco River. And if you look off to your left, you'll see kind of the point where you can't see any land. And that's really where the Patapsco River joins the Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
And when you look at the 50-foot channel that serves the Port of Baltimore, we're right off that 50-foot channel. So we're that first exit off that marine highway.
They used to build ships here.
Yeah, they did. They did, and we're going to go to that part of the site.
Yeah. It's really vast when you just drive around, and you can see the need to have that the rail within the development because it is so big.
It is.
Our tour of Trade Point Atlantic continues after a couple of messages. We'll be right back.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by United Way. From housing and education to healthcare and employment, they will help you fight to make the biggest difference in your community. Join the fight at uwcm.org/fight.
Hey listeners, during the run of the 2019 Maryland General Assembly session, you can get updates on news from Annapolis on the Roughly Speaking Government Edition. Sun reporter Luke Broadwater and Malia Cromer, director of the Goucher Poll at Goucher College, are teaming up to file reports. So be listening for the government edition of Roughly Speaking each week until the end of the Maryland legislative session.
What's the goal? What do they think the potential for jobs is down here?
Well, in 2016, we did a full-on economic analysis of our initial plan. And, that analysis yielded about 10,000 direct jobs and another 7,000 indirect jobs that are kind of created to serve the economy here. I would say we're pretty much on track with that. This time next year, 4,500 jobs, and, you know, the square footage that's been committed is we're about halfway committed. So that is pretty much on track with what we were hoping. But the job piece is an interesting thing for us. A lot of people look at us and say, these are just warehouse jobs. And I would say, no, it's more than just warehouse jobs. You could see the dynamic part of this site where you've got active port logistics jobs. And the warehouse jobs that are here are serving the e-commerce economy. When you think of a warehouse, when some people think of warehouses, they think of these big, dumb boxes. These are not big, dumb boxes that are being built. These are very smart, highly sophisticated, automated facilities that require an individual who's working in that facility to interface with artificial intelligence to be able to learn how to handle these complex distribution systems. And somebody's going to need to fix it when it goes down.
What about manufacturing?
Manufacturing, I think, will occur here on a small scale, mm-hmm. not the 20th century version of manufacturing we all kind of think of. There's from soybean crushing and palm oil to...
Bib lettuce.
Yeah, if you look at that, I think that's a version of manufacturing. Whether it's the... serving the port with the automobiles. When we import the automobiles, there's a processing facility that they go through to be able to kind of put the added touches onto the vehicle.
I just want to point out, as we drive along here, there's a water to our left and a Baltimore tug pushing a big barge with a big crane on it that's used for the dredging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. This whole channel that you're seeing here is man-made. 40% of the landmass that we're driving on was man-made by the steel mill over 125 years. When a steel mill produces a byproduct called slag, so what they were doing over the years is they were pushing the slag into the river and building up land around it. Can't do that nowadays.
No.
For good reason.
Is the environmental remediation about all done?
It's in progress. The remediation is tracking with the actual development of the site. We're making some pretty big strides in tackling some of the key projects on the property. One of them is the Tin Mill Canal, and I'll point that out to you later. It was the man-made canal that was kind of basically used as the discharge point for some of the mill operations. That canal is being excavated, relayered, and cleaned up, and that's a pretty big deal.
When you think of the East Coast... I go up to think of Boston. The waterfront of Boston has been redeveloped almost completely for residential. New York Harbor, New York City, it's been developed for years, right? Get to Newark, that's still a very active port. But when you think of areas of the East Coast that could be redeveloped into something, I'm not sure what there is. What is available? This could possibly be the biggest chunk of waterfront land that's not already fully developed. Am I close to being accurate there?
You're right on, Dan, with that. That's exactly what's going on here.
What else is
there? This is the largest, redevelopment site on the East Coast that has access to the waterfront. Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. And the potential here is great. And the fact that this site is going to continue to remain industrial, part of its heritage, because industrial activities mean jobs.
You reach a certain point where a place that has been historically industrial, that's of no interest to people as a place to live, right?
And,
absolutely. You could have wiped everything away and created a new city here, I suppose, like they want to do at Port Covington or something. But I don't know. I think we have enough of that elsewhere, don't we?
I think we do, and I don't think we have enough truly focused industrial sites like this that's maximizing the assets that are part of it.
Well, people aren't going to buy or afford waterfront property or homes anywhere near the water unless they have jobs, too.
Right. That's correct, and that's jobs. I mean, that's what you're seeing here. I mean, every time I pass by somebody driving a car, truck, a forklift, a heavy equipment, you know, a welder, that's somebody that's employed. It's got a job, what we're doing.
Where are we driving through right now? We seem to be like right in the heart of Barrows Point. Am I right? It looks like an old mill down there.
We're in an area called Coke Point, which is kind of like the western lobe of the property. And, you know, this area was where the old coke ovens were. Some raw material being stored. You'll see some lead ingots and aluminum being stored.
I was going to say, this looks like stacks of aluminum over here, right?
Yep. And there's some old mill buildings that are being used for some storage. This particular part of the site, you know, could be a potential future growth of the Port of Baltimore. You know, you talked earlier about a potential container terminal.
Yeah.
That could happen here in the future.
And where we're driving right now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The water is right over there.
The water is right over there.
Yeah. What are those yellow cranes, Aaron?
That's the shipyard. And those are two cranes that are adjacent to what I think is one of the more unique assets with the shipyard is the graving dock.
Graving dock?
There's a graving dock where you can bring in ships, repair them, and send them on the way. We can flood.
It's a dry dock?
It's a dry dock.
Yeah, that's right. So you maintain that?
Yep. And it's an active dry dock. In fact, we're trying to talk with some potential customers on using it.
Wow.
So. Wouldn't it be great to
ship repair.
Repair back to Sparrows Point?
Yeah.
Oops, sorry, Dan.
That's right. It was a little bumpy in the road there. It's fine.
Yeah, we hit a little bump.
Active railroad crossing. Is that true? That looks like a dormant railroad crossing.
It's a dormant railroad.
Okay, all right.
But I think that just shows you that there's rail that runs all throughout this property.
Yeah.
And it's part of the legacy of this property. So our team at Trade Point Rail maintains our existing rail line. They move where we don't need rail anymore and then take it and put it where we need it. So we've been repositioning and restructuring the railroad. And the rail line itself works with customers that want to store their cars here or get their cars maintained and cleaned. And then we move product for customers. And what you're going to see here is some of the slipways that were used when they built the ships.
Yeah.
So they would build the ships on these slipways, and then they would knock out the supports, and then it would float right down into the river.
We've seen the historic photographs of the launchings of Liberty ships during World War II and other commercial vessels. Right. I guess it was right here.
Took place right here.
Oh, man, I see this dry dock. Holy cow, look at that. I know some guys with dirt bikes and motorcycles that love to be inside that thing. Oh, look at that thing.
It is pretty impressive.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an incredible asset, and it's functional. You can see it's holding back the water.
Yeah, at the very end of it, because it looks like is that 3 football fields in there?
Absolutely, and 36 feet deep.
36 feet deep, and at the end, big gray doors holding back the water.
So we're working really hard on commercializing this asset and, you know, hopefully bringing a ship repair and some sort of shipbuilding back to Sparrows Point. So that's part of our plan with the shipyard. And you can't complain about that view, Dan.
I refuse. Yeah, there's the Key Bridge right there. Look at the traffic moving on the Key Bridge. And in the distance, it's a little hazy today, but in the distance is Baltimore City. And even I can see a container ship.
Yep.
Is that
MSC
headed for Dundalk, I guess.
That's correct. And then you can see the cranes right over there,
right?
of the Port of Baltimore.
Those are the new Panamax cranes.
Yep.
So you referred to, I call this a dry dock. What did you call it?
Graving dock.
A graving dock. And is that the only one here?
Yes, that I know of.
It's so huge. Wow.
Yeah, it's
everything here is huge. You know what that blue building is in front of us by any chance?
I think it's an old workshop shed. Yeah. So you can see this is probably where they got tools and or food.
There's 3 phone booths. These guys used to like make their phone calls during lunch hour here, I guess.
Huh? Yeah, old Bell Atlantic.
What was the last
one? Bell Atlantic phone booths. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Somebody might want those things.
I know.
Put them on eBay. Well, yeah,
sometimes time stands still down here every now and then.
Yeah. I haven't been here since there were steel mills and steel workers. By the way, it looks like we're going behind one now, right? Is it another old mill here?
This is...
Is that the coke mill that we passed?
No, this is just part of the shipyard. This was an old kind of, you know, shipbuilding facility.
Oh, let me ask you something. You mentioned Access World before. I just saw a sign that says Access World. Are they going into this building?
They're using this building for storage of some of their material. Access World is a third-party logistics provider that move metals that are typically traded on the London Metals Exchange for customers. So there's metals probably being stored in this building as a result. So we use the buildings as much as we can but this will be slated for demolition at some point as well.
We stopped at a gate here. We're on our way out of the shipyard area, and there's a... What is that? It looks like a fireboat. Mayor Thomas D'Alessandro Jr. on its side, which I guess this is the Tommy boat. Old Tommy D'Alessandro was mayor of Baltimore. He was a congressman, and he was Nancy Pelosi's father. So what is that?
That's exactly what it is there, Dan. That's a fireboat that was in service that was named after the former mayor of Baltimore.
So what's the plan for it? I mean, by the way, what's it doing here?
You don't know?
There are a lot of things we inherited here at Sparrows Point that we're scratching our heads over. And it's an interesting asset. We're not entirely sure what the future holds for that. But
you know, that's got to be preserved. I've got to look into what that... You could just put that on display someplace. Or maybe just leave it right here and paint it up a little bit. Nancy Pelosi would probably love to see this.
Yes, I think so. I think she is aware that this boat exists. I don't know if she's actually seen it in person, but...
Someone had the idea to just leave it here on display because at the front are the mooring ropes and fake pilings to make it look like it's been moored here.
Yes, somebody put some effort into preserving it and to displaying it in some kind of creative fashion here, so...
Look at that thing. So... The city fire department was going to scrap it or something, and they just decided to leave it here?
Probably.
Huh? We'll get to the bottom of that. I'll find out what that's doing here. So, we're on the way out now. Where are we? I lost my bearings here for a moment.
Yeah, no worries. Sorry. So we are on the western side of the property that it is right next to 695.
Key Bridge.
And the Key Bridge. And we're looking at a million square foot spec building that we built. And the spec building was designed to be able to be used as a cross dock distribution facility for a potential tenant. We wanted to demonstrate to our tenants the ability to deliver a building like this. And I think it's been successful because what's been happening is the prospective tenants, they come, they look at this building, it's great, and then they want to order one of their own. So we're looking for a permanent tenant for this building, but I think that should hopefully happen sometime this year.
How do we describe how big it is?
It's a million square feet.
Thank you. A million square feet. Yeah. That gives you some idea, folks. It's just a long, 2.5-story building, gray and white, with all sorts of docks in the back here.
Yeah.
For trucks.
Yeah. It's cross dock for the trucks and 36 feet high. So it's a great building, but this was the site of the old rod and wire mill.
63 bus just went by again. Zooming right along there. Not a lot of traffic down here. And that goes to downtown Baltimore. So good number of employees come out of the city to work here.
Yes. In January of this year, 27,000 riders went on LocalLink 63.
So MTA was happy with that kind of usage, huh?
Yeah, they were. They worked with Under Armour and Amazon to understand their shift schedules. And then they created a bus line around it. I thought it was a great job.
So, and they've increased the number of runs?
Frequencies. And in fact, when Amazon was operating at its peak capacity around the holidays, they were bringing in the slinky buses, you know, the extended buses, because they were just overwhelmed with the number of people that were at the site. So.
Thank you for this tour of Trade Point to this point, and you know, we'll come back in a year or so, see where you are, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, if I could say something about the jobs, Dan,
yeah,
we talk about the type of jobs that are needed in Baltimore. You know, communities that are underserved, where the educational attainment isn't where we kind of were hoping it would be. But people need a chance and an opportunity at a job, and to be able to go to work on a regular basis and learn something and be able to have an opportunity to maybe get training for other jobs, that can happen here. These jobs that are being created here can serve those communities, and it's just about getting access to those communities.
I mean, you said before that, you know, some people say, well, they're just warehouse jobs, to sort of dismissive of what that is. I mean, that's part of the new economy, is it not? I guess with automation, a lot of people worry that even those jobs will go away someday. But the fact is, you have to have human hands still on a lot of the aspects of these operations.
Absolutely. And then the warehouse jobs of the 21st century, these jobs here are not just you know, throwing boxes around. I mean, you're working with sophisticated artificial intelligence and distribution systems. You have to understand how to interface with computers. You have to understand how these complex systems work.
I wrote a column some years ago wondering why Under Armour didn't manufacture some of its products here in Maryland. USA, you know, and they're doing it. They're starting to make some in other countries too, manufacture some, I think, some shoes and some of their apparel. But that requires someone to know how to operate this sophisticated machinery.
It is. There's hundreds of millions of dollars of equipment and automation and systems in these buildings. Incredible investments. And you're going to need people to operate them, and those people are going to need to be trained to operate these systems. And I think you're going to see that play out with a couple other potential tenants that we're talking to. You'll see the sophistication in their operations.
By the way, has Trade Point adapted for, planned for, thought about the unmanned truck?
Autonomous vehicle?
Autonomous transports, yeah. Is that something that we might see happening? I mean, apparently it's already happening in certain parts of the country, like in the Southwest, I think, where there are big open spans of highway. But is that something that we could see here?
It is possibly something we could see here. In fact, we are in early conversations, you know, with the Department of Transportation on a grant that they're trying to secure to do some testing of automated vehicles. And they look at Trade Point as an ideal property to be able to kind of maybe do a little something of with that. So, you know, we're in early conversations, but I totally can see a campus like this being adapted for that new technology.
Well, thank you very much, Aaron.
Sure.
Our guest today and driver has been
Aaron Tamarchio, Senior Vice President of Corporate Affairs for Trade Point Atlantic.
You can find lots of Sun stories and a good video of Trade Point Atlantic if you follow the notes with this episode of the show. And that's it for now. I'm Dan Rodericks at the Baltimore Sun. For my producers, Steve Early and Hallie Miller, thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking, and we'll see you again soon.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.